好，各位网上听众，你哋好。我是袁大明，好高兴咧，今晚又能够同大家一起探讨一啲近日发生嘅事情，或者正在困扰香港嘅问题。咁香港出路网上电台嘅节目嘅目的咧，系希望咧系为香港寻找一条出路，能够真真正正解决香港面对嘅问题。咁我哋唔系希望咧系只系同大家一起大肆批评下政府、某机构或者某人对某事处理得唔好，咁大家发泄一番就算。我哋希望咧系能够深入啲讨论问题嘅根源，了解问题嘅来龙去脉，咁从而提出一啲具体性嘅解决方法，同埋建议我哋每个人可以做啲咩嘢，令到呢个问题咧系真正解决呢。咁即系简单嚟讲，如果你系当事人喺当时嘅选举之下，你会点样做？好啦，咁今晚咧大家都可以睇到我哋嗰、那个会讲嘅题目咧系关于外星接触手记人类嘅锐变咁。咁原来咧，我哋即系做咗节目咁耐吓，我哋都其实都冇乜真真正正去即系去分析一下，咁边啲节目咧系最多人听咧咁。咁我哋今日咧就有机会咧同我哋嘅监制啦，咁就讲到呢个问题。咁佢睇一睇个数据咧，竟然咧原来最多人收听或者即系 download 我哋嘅资料咧，系竟然咧系当我哋讲及嗰、那个即系 UFO 嗰个时候嘅。咁大家都知道啦，香港人对现时个经济嘅问题咧好关注啦。咁但系咧，原来咧香港人对即系外星啊、人啊或者不明来历嘅飞行物体咧，其实咧嗰、那个关注嘅程度咧系相当之高嘅。咁我哋今晚咧好高兴咧，就请到一位国际知名嘅外星专家。咁呢位系Mary Rockwell 啦。咁佢澳洲喺几日前嚟澳洲上嚟香港嘅。咁喺两日琴日咧，咁佢我哋都喺个香港大学里边咧，都有一个相似嘅话题讨论嘅。咁我哋呢位UFO 嘅专家咧，其实佢本身嗰个背景咧系一位护士嚟嘅，咁亦都系一位助产士。咁即系好明显啦，即系佢个背景咧，同佢即系跟住落嚟咁多年嚟嘅个兴趣啊，同埋研究嘅对象咧，好似都系唔系好关注咁样，即系唔系好拉加咁样嘅。咁我哋今晚咧就因为始终个时间啦，我哋都即系好似以往咁样啦，咁遇到外籍人士啦，咁我哋都系用英语讲就算噶啦。咁我相信咧，我哋听众大部分都可以听得到嘅。咁或者咁样先啦。welcome Mary for coming here and spend the time with us and sharing your experience in this area. Now we know that your actual background.Professional background was in nursing. You are a registered nurse, and you used to work as a midwife. But then you kind of later on you begin your work in the area of hypnosis. Now, how do you ever get involved in this area of investigation on the UFO and ET? What happened?
Well, thank you for the invite. It started out that I went into counseling and worked in a medical practice for 5 years in England, and then continued when I went migrated to Western Australia. And mm-hmm. I began to work with counseling in grief and bereavement. And interestingly, in grief and bereavement, people have sometimes very strange experiences where they feel maybe the departedmother or father has come to visit them and strange things happen. So people often think they're a bit crazy when those kinds of things happen as well. So, you know, there's a bit of a paranormal thing that happens when, you know, someone's lost someone very close to them. They may even smell the perfume of mother, you know, their mum suddenly around in the room and feel they're very close. So I was already aware of maybe the non-physical world. I went into, you know, I continued counseling.And have been in counseling for the last 20 years. But about 14 years ago, I met my first client when I went into private practice, who said to me, he'd heard that I was very open-minded. And he said, I need someone who's open-minded. He said, because my experiences, he said, there's no support groups for this. There's no one who wants to listen. Everybody just thinks you're crazy. And then he began to tell me about his own experiences. And he said, I wake up in the morning, I have shaved areas on my leg.He said, you know, I have marks on my body. My partner has the same things happening. My, you know, the children have these things happening. So it wasn't just him. It was his whole family. And that became my journey because I wanted to understand what was going on for him because he was plainly not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was certainly having experiences out of the norm. And so that began my journey into what I call the non-physical realm and the whole area of ufology and what we call abduction experiences, but actually more than that. They are now, I believe, contact experiences, and there are many forms of that kind of contact.
How long ago was this?
About 14 years ago. And since
40?
Yeah, 14 years ago I started. Since then, I've had about 1,500 cases of people from all around the world. Many of them from Australia, but also from as far away as Russia, Alaska, South America, as well as obviously America and the UK, Finland. People contact me from all around the world, and many of them call themselves, you know, having contact or being what I would call the star kids.
Mm-hmm. Children.
And yeah, lots mm-hmm. of parents with children that are coming out with the most amazing and incredible information, including talking about, you know, as one little five-year-old said to his mother, "I don't mind going through the walls, and they teach me more on the spaceships than I learn at school, and one day I'll introduce you to them." This is a five-year-old child talking about his experiences on a spacecraft.
So from this 1,500 cases of close
encounters,
and then you felt that, you know, their experience could not be explained otherwise, but seemed to have some kind of contact with another dimension of being, and that's your conclusion, right? Over the years.
Over the years. I mean, I did actually, I was doing advanced counseling at the time, and I actually took this as a case study to the Counseling Institute because I wanted to understand, was this man crazy? Was he hallucinating? Was he schizophrenic? You know, you go through all the different kinds of conditions it may be. And I actually presented this case and under supervision, and in the counseling group, I had uniting ministers, psychologists, social workers, and what have you. And they looked at this case alongside what I'd presented from this gentleman that had come to see me. Not one of them said to me they thought the man was crazy. They all actually started to tell me about their own paranormal experiences. So what I'd done is actually give them permission to say, you know, I've experienced strange things too that I can't explain. You know, and, you know, I don't feel like I'm crazy either. So what I'd done in a way is give them permission to start saying that they've, you know, that there's another realm for them also. But what made me go into this even more deeply was they could give me no answers. Mm-hmm. They couldn't say to me, yes, this is obviously real. So I had to do my own exploring, and I read books. One of them particularly important was by a Harvard professor of psychiatry, Dr. John Mack, who wrote the book Abduction. And in it, he'd explored 100 cases of abduction experience. He came purely in as a skeptic, but by the end of exploring these cases, without question, he said that he believed it was their reality. He ended up writing another book called Passport to the Cosmos, where he went into more detail about this reality. And Dr. John Mack actually tested all these people psychologically. He gave them a range of psychological tests to make sure that they were psychologically sound. And he found no psychopathology. In other words, they were perfectly sane. If maybe a more intuitive and more psychic than most, there was no question that they were sane individuals. And his conclusion was not only that were they sane, the fact is that these individuals often are experiencing this with other members of the family because it's intergenerational. It goes through genetic lines. So if you've got one person having experience, it's quite likely siblings. It might also be parents, grandparents, or grandchildren. It literally goes through lines. So again, it takes it away from being a fantasy or a hallucination, because the mere fact is that people are missing from their beds, can wake up outside with all the doors locked. They can wake up with marks on their body they can't explain, from bruises, rashes. Many of these fluoresce under black ultraviolet light. They may find that their clothes are rearranged or in funny places, or even wearing pajamas that are not theirs. All these things are giving this an absolute reality. And what I discovered by reading Dr. Mack's book and other books by experiencers, that this was a genuine experience it crosses all cultural boundaries. This means it doesn't matter what you believe in. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what age you are or what profession you are. I've had lawyers, doctors, nurses, social workers. psychiatrists that come to me and say they can't even talk about this to their colleagues. Because if you're a psychiatrist and you're saying you're seeing aliens, you're not going to have much of a practice at the end of it. So this is one of the most amazingly kept secrets on this planet, is people won't talk about it because if you're a lawyer, as one lawyer said to me, I'm earning $450 an hour. What would happen to my practice if I started to say that I'm seeing aliens? I wouldn't have a practice. So why do they keep it quiet? Or wouldn't you?
But you said, you know, this kind of work has been seriously studied by academicians, like even schools like Harvard. So it actually warranted some serious study by some professor. Now, how common is this experience? Is there any study to show how many people really, in a community or in our society, have actually witnessed or encountered this sort of experience?
There was a Roper poll done in, I think, in the 90s. And from this Roper poll, they asked certain questions that are very common to the abduction experience. And one in five actually admitted that they'd had these kinds of symptoms, if you like, of this abduction experience. That was one in five, and that was in the 90s. In Australia, about 18 months ago, there was another poll done, a similar kind of poll, over 750 individuals. 750 individuals in Australia, and they asked similar questions. And one in five said that they'd seen a UFO, and some admitted they'd had interactions with them. We are talking about millions of people.
But, you know, I mean, if you look at the figure you mentioned, you know, according to the poll that's actually been carried out recently in Australia, then one would think that, you know, it is not a kind of unusual experience people will be afraid to talk about. I mean, you know, if one in five people have that experience, and they will find commonalities, you know, if you just kind of start talking about it. So, I mean, we have a, you know, we do have a sizable audience today, and then, I mean, among us, you know, we have some people who actually have seen it. Now, unfortunately, I haven't. You know, I haven't really seen anything close to the UFO or ET, and I'm curious. Have you personally, I mean, have any kind of encounter yourself, or you just do it as a more like a academic study, and that's how it started and remains so? Or?
Well, initially I hadn't seen anything unusual in the sky, but in the last few years I've seen certainly bright lights that didn't do what stars do, which is stay still, and have gone in strange directions. And I've had my watch with another gentleman when I was seeing these strange lights. Our watches were at least an hour apart, and we couldn't work out why, because our watches were the same time when we went to watch these strange lights. I haven't actually seen it clearly enough to see what kind of shape it was. I've had no conscious experiences, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not relevant to me.
Right.
All I know is that I don't recall anything. But my interest came purely, to start with, on the mystery. I saw a sane person in front of me talking about their experiences. I met his wife, I met the children, and I could see that they were quite normal. And but what they were experiencing was, as a whole family, quite abnormal. And since then, of course, many, many others have found me. And I've had people fly from other, you know, from England to actually come to see me because they couldn't get the support in England that they were looking for. 12,000 miles to come and see someone who's actually going to listen to their experiences and support them. New Zealand, from other parts of Australia, have flown a long way. You know, one particular person flew from the other side of Australia. She was married to a psychiatrist and couldn't tell the psychiatrist, her husband, that she, you know, that she was having these experiences because she was afraid her husband wouldn't accept it. So, you know, what I'm getting at is that, you know, this is something, for whatever reason, many, many people find they can't talk about it to their family and friends because the common reaction, whether, you know, you want to accept it as or not, is one of disbelief. And if it's not disbelief, often it's even, you know, derision. Oh, yes, you've seen a UFO. Ha, ha, ha. So you believe in aliens. But, yeah.
Now, right here in our studio, you know, we have about 17 people. You know, out of this 17 of us, I think at least five people, four people at least, you know, have actual... five have actually witnessed this experience, and I would like to, you know, one of us to share, you know, your experience. Can you explain, you know, what you think you have seen when you were young?
Teresa, 即係見 UFO 咧，就都大致上都見過十次以下咧，即
係嚇。
佢咧就一路都係住喺香港嘅，香港
係啦。咁其實咧，我就細個嗰陣時咧，我就係住觀塘區，啲樓啊比較矮啲咯。咁矮啲，咁啊個天空就成日都望到個天空嘅。咁每一次咧，我一見到 UFO 咧，咁我就叫我細佬過嚟。咁啊，睇下即系可能有啲飞过嚟啊，喐下咁样，突然间唔见咗啊咁样。咁大个啦，咁我搬咗去蓝田区啦，咁就变咗即系我睇到 UFO 嗰阵时咧，咁我就会叫我女去睇咯。
嗯哼，
吓或者佢见到嗰阵时，佢都会叫我去睇咯。即系因为我哋经常性都可以见到个大嘅天空。
系。
咁其实我觉得香港人咧，只要你是有少少时间去每一日留意一下个天空咧，其实都有好多奇怪嘅嘢你可以睇到。
咁你差唔多见咗成十次咁多？
冇，即系可能系十次以下咁咯，
八九次咁啦。
吓吓，两次。
咁你过去有冇人同人分享呢个经验？
细个嗰阵时咪，我一见到我就会叫我细佬，因为即系父母佢唔会理你。即系大人嗰啲，咩傻啦？睇天空啊，睇窗口啊，你同我睇啦咁样嗰类咧，咁佢唔会理你啊嘛。咁细佬咧就会有咩奇怪咁，佢走嚟白下咁。
咁最近啦，咁最近有系几时再见过？
其实最近咧就近八月份咧就连续三日，其实我个女都会见到咯。
八月份。
是不是八月份？
大概
上。
Yeah.
其实他有一晚到就是我见到先我叫他看的。跟着第二日他见到第三晚都是他见到的。第三晚他就拍了张照片。咁我谂部分有啲人都见过，
佢直接影到当时。
系啊，俾咗。
O K， 我哋将来可以将呢个相咧系等翻喺我哋个网站啦。咁其实你知道啦，呢类嘅 UFO 嘅有关 UFO 嘅资料咧，其实网上好多好多。
系啊。
咁我哋前一排咧，我哋都访问咗吓另外一位喺香港居住嘅外籍人士啦，Neil Guo啦。So 咁 Neil 咧就话我哋最近咧，原来香港都好多呢方面嘅嘅 sighting 都可以見到嘅。Neil, I mean, you just mentioned that, just very recently, you have seen some, sightings happening in Hong Kong?
I would say that very recently was the most intense period of sightings in anything that I've ever experienced. Not only sightings myself, but we had Skywatch, it's in my free weekly newsletter. I've actually logged all these sightings.We've had witnesses again. We've had my family there again. We are talking about watching a display, first of all, of a huge, it looked like, I wouldn't say a boomerang, but I'd rather say like bat's wings. Like bat's wings. Mm-hmm. It was huge. And it was about from the size of from the top of Lama Island to Tsim Sha Tsui. And the color was in burning embers of a fire, you know, when the fire is going out, that red glow. But made up of millions of little dots of those red glow, but it was very dull, so the contrast between the light of this craft and the light of the sky almost matched. So we have video, but all you can hear is everybody screaming and shouting, but you can see nothing. And the huge craft came past the Pak Fulam Channel, past Baguio Villas again as normal, and morphed into a different shape, into a ribbon, and then into a round donut shape, huge, and went off. It did it six times, not once, six times. After the display was over, we all went inside. My son from the UK, he came over. he was so amazed because he'd not believe me. He was the only member of the family that was left out of the last sighting I told you about. And apparently he came running and his face was white. He said, I can't believe what I've just seen. The whole sky blacked out in the shape of a big boomerang from the north of Lama again to Tsimsa Choi. The whole sky blacked out. And he totally freaked out. In fact, Mary had a chat with my kids today. And they explained independently to Mary the whole story. But now, what we find is this, Dr. Jung. We're finding that if we have a sky watch for 3 hours, and we say the most suitable time is between 7:30 and 10:30, if the sky is partly cloudy, it's okay. Even if it's slightly misty, it's okay. But remember, to sit and look in the sky for 3 hours is not easy. People don't do that. They look up, they look down, they talk. The talking stops. People can look up at the sky for 3 hours. I am so confident that you will see something. Because on every subsequent night, we had one time one white ball of light come, split into three like the film Close Encounter, went off into different directions. Then we had two lights going at tremendous speed across the sky. And of course, we have the normal V-shaped craft. But it just takes sitting down and watching the sky. And I'm your daughter did saw that, Teresa, right?
The 3 nights.
Yeah.
Right.
When was this? We talk about a month ago, a week ago here, or
we're talking about 2.5 weeks ago, and on between about the 9th to about the 13th. To my best recollection, I have all the data at home. This was going
October.
Of October, the 9th to the 13th of October. So I told you last time. We're now getting to the point where we, as a group, you know, I consider myself very closely associated with the Hong Kong Institute of Ufology and the UFO Club. Even though we're Exopolitics Hong Kong, we're all in the same, exact same boat, that we need to embark on this galactic diplomacy and get together the right people to go out on our own and to begin to make contact. Because I just had an email tonight that we've just had incredible news from Switzerland that more contact groups have got together and they've actually made contact again. So I'm very, very encouraged by what I've just heard there.
Now, when something that size that you just described, you know, went over the skylines in Hong Kong, I would think a lot of people would have noticed it.
Well, funny enough, you know, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Apple Daily...
Did they?
The Apple Daily paper contacted us, right, Moon, and sent me photos. And I kept saying to Moon, I can't see anything in the photos because, the rubber band, I thought was a circle. Somebody had drawn a circle around the craft and I was looking in the circle. What they were showing me was the circle. The circle was the craft.
So that was on the newspaper?
Well, the Apple Daily received it.
They asked us for opinion.
So what is in the picture?
It's like a rubber band you see through in the middle, it's through the sky. But then you have a rim. Of darkness, looks like a huge rubber band in the sky, kind of.
But it doesn't look anywhere like what you think. You know, it's a UFO.
Well, why do you have to look at something the way you think? This is 99% of the problem.
Right.
We shouldn't think.
Right.
We shouldn't, you know, preconceive what we think something will look like because it's like you know people calling an ET an angel, or they see a beautiful female in a bright light and they say that's the Virgin Mary. Because they think, they expect we shouldn't think like that. We have to open our mind to this cosmic conscious conditioning that Dr. Mack was talking about. That's what it is.
Now, so what is in the picture is just like a circle, looks like a rubber band.
Yes, and it's big.
You sent me another email, something happened similar in other... You sent me an email, something happened similar in other countries... But you kind of imply that this is kind of like an artificial thing.
No, what we do is we challenge everything that comes in.
Right.
We don't just accept everything. We try to match up as much as we can. But the problem, I try to show that we could simulate it by using blowing a smoke ring.
Oh, okay.
Okay, a huge smoke ring goes up.
Let it come, yeah.
Right, but the smoke ring will go up and it will form that shape and then it will dissipate. This particular picture showed this band in three different places. So it maintained its integrity. As this like rubber band.
It was in Brazil.
It was in different countries
in
too.
Hong Kong and one more place, right?
Yes.
Did the paper show that in their own
papers? Papers you know, just as Mary was telling you, what reporter is going to be the first one to really, with his heart, say, yes, I believe it, and print it? No. He doesn't want his credibility wrecked. He wants to continue earning his money as a reporter of terrestrial things that everybody is confident of and everybody knows about. We're dealing in the world's greatest, as Stanton Friedman said, it's a cosmic Watergate. You know, it's a big cover-up.
No, but you said, a flying object spanning from Lemma Island to Chimsajoy, that covers a good part of the skyline. Why would not more people have seen it? Was it just a momentary flicking image? Or
no, it was not. It was more than six passes. Now, the question is this.
Yes.
If people saw it, who are they going to tell? Where is the central reporting office in Hong Kong? Who is going to listen? Who's going to believe them? Each person is on his own with this kind of thing. And what we're trying to do is pull everybody in together. Let people know, like Mary, what Mary's done for people, you cannot imagine. They would have gone crazy. They probably would have been drugged if not for Mary. Mary has saved people.
Right.
She saved people from being medicated and put away. And it's the same thing. People do not want to be, look stupid. But, I never feel more comfortable than I'm with the people in this room. Because everybody here knows the truth.
Now, okay, let's take a short break. And for people who want to join our discussion, and our phone-in number is 2134-1134. Our phone-in number is 2134-1134. So we'll be back, in a couple of minutes.